This is KD4SRR, just testing the latest setup of EchoLink. Over.
Burr, KD2BNG. Sounds good.
Thanks a lot. Say it'll pass government inspection.
Fine, everything else is fine. I'm not sure what else to tell you. You're good with EchoLink.
Well, I appreciate that. That means that I can lay my Chromebook on my substantial belly and speak without lifting a finger. Talk about the lazy man's lazy boy plan. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. This is KD4SRR Robert and Joanna. I'll be clear on your final.
Laptop fits neatly on your belly. That's why I think I prefer the tablet PCs. But, yeah, your EchoLink setup is working well.
This is KD4SRR again. Sorry about that. I accidentally closed the program instead of just closing the mic.
Sometimes I use EchoLink on the iPhone. If you close the program, that should close the mic, wouldn't it? I don't know. But, you know, good luck with it. It seems to be working.
Yeah, if you close the, if you hit end over by transmit, the big red button with the eye in the middle of it, that throws the baby out with the bathwater. That kicks you all the way out back to the, list of EchoLink repeaters. So that's the extreme. I'm supposed to just tap the big microphone. Over.
Don't have the EchoLink program in front of me, but haven't used it that much. Oh yeah, so the other button you mentioned probably says to log out of the EchoLink node, which you probably didn't want to do.
Nah, I hit the wrong button, as they always said in the TV broadcast. So anyway, I will hit the right button now, because I got work to do, but I thought I'd try this thing. I had it set up, and doggone, I couldn't remember my password. And there's no way you can go into the app and change it. You have to go to the EchoLink website and request a link, which I did, and it didn't... took it right away. Sometimes it takes up to 15 minutes, but I've got a universal password I can use now. I just wondered if it'd work on this Chromebook I picked up for $20. And so far, so good, I guess. I can't hear myself. Well, I heard myself come back, but these things don't have the best speakers in them. I mean, they're adequate. But the good thing about it is if it does come up a bad storm... probably after the net tonight, but if we do get storms and I don't feel like having the lightning rod outside the window talking on that, I can just do the wireless internet, I guess, through this guy. So that was the main purpose. And also if I'm down in Columbia or someplace like that, I have it on my phones too, on my Androids. And they work surprisingly well even with sloppy slow speed under 1 megabyte a second internet.
I have used the Linux version of EchoLink, and yeah, it does work. It's called QTEL or something. I forget what it's called. Yeah, Chromebooks are cheap. They're not, you know, powerful machines, but they're cheap. Like the fact that ultimately they're reliant on some kind of cloud storage to store it.
Roger that. There is a little bit of a delay too. Now this Chromebook was a dent and scratch deal because it's an HP. It actually has an i3 processor, considerably better than whatever they stick in most of the toy ones, and it does have 8 gigs of RAM. And the reason I got it so cheap is this guy's baby daughter decided to throw it. And it didn't break the screen, but it broke the digitizer. So the touch function was gone. I can replace this digitizer for about $90, which sounds like a lot of money until you look at some of the cell phones. But to be honest with you, I don't intend to use it as a Surface replacement or, you know, like the Microsoft Surface, that is. I don't pretend, you know, to use it, and I've actually got an external mouse, and it's kind of like a very lightweight, fun 1080p high-def screen. Like I said, there's a little imperceptible crack in it that whacked the digitizer. But as far as the touchy-feely, but, you know, it worked at $20, and it's very, very efficient when it comes to battery life.
Something, found a couple of tablet computers on eBay. I actually ordered two of them. The Panasonic Toughbook series, or, well, there's a Toughbook and a tough tablet, I think. And, you know, they're good little, you know, probably, let me see what I can do with them. I mean, they run Windows, so they run anything. So you're not locked into Android, Linux, iOS, whatever. But, you know, I'll see what I can. I got so many computers around here, I don't even know what I want to do with the ones that I have. I got to go on Craigslist and have a computer sale.
Well, I'll tell you about Craigslist. That could be dangerous and also dangerous because a lot of the liaisons are illicit through Craigslist. They should call it Love List. But that aside, I'm glad you got some Panasonic Toughbooks. I've had a couple through the years. The only thing I didn't like about them, and I had a tough tablet, I had the C1 series, was to be tough, they have to have the less sensitive display. So it feels like sometimes you're hammering on it to get it to move. Not all that responsive. And also, even when they have, you know, an i5 or i7 processor, they're a little bit slower because they were not designed for gaming and the likes. Some of them do have HDMI output ports, so you could technically stream to it and then, you know, output it to a larger screen, but they sacrifice a little performance for being kind of sort of waterproof. I wouldn't dunk them. The only one that you might get away with dunking if the O-rings are good is a GTAC, which is by General Dynamics. Now, that is a mother. To put it lightly, those will work in a 4-inch-an-hour monsoon, allegedly. Even the toy G.I. Joe has his own little accoutrement of a accessory, and it is a GTAC. So the Panasonics are a little slow, and the C1 tablet had a habit of getting real hot. I had the base for it and everything, but I let it go. I actually made a couple of bucks on it. I didn't lose anything. They're good. Like I said, just the screens aren't real responsive. But, I mean, if you're just hitting something to launch, I guess, or start the next nuclear war, they're fine.
Toughpad FCG1. Core i5, 2 GHz, 8 gig of RAM, 256 gigabyte solid state drive. And unfortunately, Windows 10 is probably on sale. Get that to run very the seller on eBay was selling them for like $190. You know, Panasonic used to sell these, and even Amazon still wants $500 for them. So play with it, see what it can do. Just have something in that sort of that tablet format is useful for certain things.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit wherever you are, but yeah, they're great for that. In fact, there's a guy that sells a complete SDR radio. It's basically using the Panasonic Toughbook as the SDR, and he hooks a linear to it. So you can hook any kind of heater up to it you want, and you've got your keyboard and your waterfall, and you got all your groovy stuff right there. I'm sure, you know, that's what it was meant for. And some of them have the cellular port, although I don't know if they're limited to the now-defunct 3G or if you can actually get 4G LTE out of them. They're allegedly unlocked if you do get the one with the cell. But that would be like an all-one-stop shop. And 4G LTE, at least in my area, has come up to darn good speed. I mean, it's about 160 megabits a second for over the air, which, you know, that way you can transmit pictures and do everything, and that's what a lot of the television stations are doing now instead of using MARTI microwave links and trying to set that crap up. They just gave them a box with a generic SIM card, and they can go live with whichever cellular network is the closest. Not 5G or 5G LTE yet, but 160 megabytes a second was sure faster than what I was getting with Charter. Doesn't beat the T-Mobile I'm getting now, which I'm getting, if it's not too busy, I'm getting about 600 megabits a second download, and respectable about 50 to 60 megabits upload, which is certainly fast enough for 1080p video. But like I said, that Toughbook, man, you'll never get tired of it, except maybe carrying it around, and you can clear a room with it, with the handle, if people get into a fisticuff. You can take out several people with it at the same time.
For home internet, that you're getting something like 600 megabits. T-Mobile, their 5G internet. Is that who? Because that's the only service that I know of. They have a flat rate, $50 a month, 5G, whatever it is.
Hey, Glenn, how are you, bud? I just want to drop by and say hello. I didn't mean to interrupt your conversation. Hadn't talked with you in a while, and just wanted to see if you were doing well.
I guess. What was I talking about? Yeah, 5G, T-Mobile, I think, is 5G internet, and I don't know. I went back to Spectrum because they basically, you know, like the Godfather, they gave me an offer I couldn't refuse.
That's the one I'm using. I'm using T-Mobile, and it's actually 5G, U as in universe, C as in Charlie, or it stands for ultra content or whatever. You know, I think Verizon's version is UW, ultra wideband. But yeah, that's the if you don't have the UC, it's worse than LTE. It really stinks. The signal's there, and you can run the speed test, so you can send a ping down to one end and get it back in a certain amount of time. But as far as the pipeline, it's terribly congested. I would even go as far as saying another kind of blockage that starts with a C. It's terrible. But now 4G LTE can drop to that. And like I said, it's weird. It respectable, 160 down and about 30 up. Not fiber optic. Abbeville, of all places, has the fiber optic, and that's true duplex. So you get 250 down, but you get 250 up. Well, you get 250 up and 250 down. So that really is pretty cool. But like I was saying, 60 megabits a second is actually more than adequate to do virtually anything. But anything on top of that is icing on the cake. And other than that outage we had a Sunday or so ago where Everything they had was down. And this was like the whole East Coast. Knock on wood, I've not had any trouble with it. And like, I actually am a geezer of low means, low income. I am one of the poor. So I get a little bit of subsidy out of that to help me pay for the 50 bones. It is a month. But it's worth 50 bucks. It was definitely cheaper than what Charter was giving me and a whole lot better service so far.
Fiber optic, Ethernet, whatever it is, Ethernet over fiber, fiber optic here with PRTC. And, you know, out here in nowhere, I guess it's a bit slow. It was, well, you know, it was a little over 100 megabits downstream and about, just about 100 megabits upstream. So, see, the thing what's important is, your upstream speed, people don't realize, is important if you do things like video conferencing. Because that's one of those things that sends a lot of data in either direction. So it's only as slow as your slowest link. But I, you know, they were charging me about 68 bucks a month. So, and, you know, Spectrum comes to me and they say, we want you back, we want you back. Yeah. Maybe I'll think about it. They came to me a second time. We want you back. We want you back. We'll give you $19.99 a month for 2 years. And we'll give you free mobile phone service for a year. Okay, well, I guess that's... You make me... what's that line from the Godfather? You may make me a deal I can't refuse. I make you an offer you can't refuse. So I had to come crawling back to Spectrum.
Man, you're special. They didn't offer us poor trash down in Joanna any kind of deal like that. I would have taken that, and actually I'm looking at a work-from-home customer service job that pays about $1,600 a month for basically... telling people to plug in their Bitaford electric blanket and, oh, it doesn't work, okay, here's an RMA, send it back kind of job. You know, I thought about that, and then that would be justified, because they won't let you do it, although I'm using cellular data now. There's no way I could have consistently convinced them that I could have used cellular data with an S-series going back to the S8 and the Note 8, however many years ago that was, that I can use that with an external monitor. So, hang on 1 second here. Oh, no, that's a scam. I won't even worry about that one. Over.
Said, you know, I don't know why Spectrum is that desperate for my business, but, I mean, see, I don't actually have anything in writing, but that's what I was told. Yeah, we'll give you $19.95 a month for 2 years. Well, what happens after 2 years? Well, it might go up to... And we'll give you mobile phone service, I guess, with Verizon for the next year. You know, so I reluctantly called PRTC and said, look, you know, I don't really want to leave you guys, because you and I both know how bad Spectrum sucks. But, you know... You're not going to match their offer, and don't even try. So, I had to, you know, let's see if they promise what they said they were going to do, and if in a couple of months they don't start jacking up the rate again.
They will burn you for about 75 bucks a month when they get the chance. So, by that time, you know, it's no contract. So you'll be out of it, and you can go back to PRTC, or as they're gradually getting around to it, Google Fi, F-I for Google Fiber, in my brother's neighborhood off of Old Bush River Road. He gets enough, because he's 5.6 miles from the tower. To get T-Mobile on his phone. He can watch YouTube in low resolution, which on a phone you know, you're not going to tell it that much. But he can watch that, and he can pick up, since they took his Newsmax away on DirecTV, I'm putting up a outdoor antenna for his local channels. They took that away earlier, and said he had to redo the whole system, and it was going to be an install charge, and they couldn't just send him the receiver to plug in and hook up for his local channels. But that aside, anyway, he doesn't have very good internet out there, and Verizon's even worse. His wife's got that, and with a Wii Booster and a Yagi antenna on the front porch, she's barely able to get 1 megabits per second, and she's paying through the nose for it. But they don't have cable, they don't have Comcast is the provider, and they stop about 5 miles about where the tower is before his house. So rural broadband has not come to his area, but he's able to use it. But I if he could get just 10 megabytes per second, he would drop DirecTV completely, and he would stream. He could get a 480p, not a high definition, maybe a 720p. But he could watch everything he wants through Sling or Philo or something like that, get a streaming service. Yeah, he's still got to pay for the internet. But, you know, he would be able to choose a whole lot of stuff. And I know he could get into, start using the Paramount Plus that I pay like $5 a month for to watch Star Trek and a couple other things. And he'd have everything he needs. He's less mobile than I am, so I grab this thing and get out and I take my devices of everywhere I go. So that's a whole other thing. But that sounds like a good deal. Like I said, if Charter come around and offered me $20 for a month for 2 years, yeah, I'd have taken it. Because really, I haven't tried it yet. But supposedly, I am pretty much grounded with this wireless service. It would be fantastic if you could take it camping or something like that, but it don't work that way. Also, another thing with T-Mobile, before I end this particularly long-winded rant, is that there's two versions. There's a $50 light internet, and that only gives you 100 megabits, so it's almost like the portable MiFi. That's 100 gigabytes, rather. That's not enough. I can chew through that in a matter of 2 or 3 days. So this is unlimited. But, you know, living by myself, I really don't need a whole lot. Like I said, I figured out how to use my S8 phone, my Note 8 rather, to go up to a bigger screen. So that's just mirroring what you've got. But there's always a will and a way. And like I said, eventually, Modern Life hopefully will come to Mudlick. That's the actual name of his community down in Newberry County. Over.
I'll clear. After Peter again, did we?
By the way, I closed myself. Well, it auto-closed that time. I didn't do anything. I just clicked on the mic and it went away. Well, somebody needs to put a limit on me. There needs to be a big gong that bangs when I go too long. Some people accuse me of not being a human, that I don't breathe. And I said, well, it's called intercircular breathing. Trumpet and woodwind players learned how to do it. It's kind of annoying, though, to anybody listening.
This radio actually has a timeout timer, which I think I set to 2 minutes. And so far, I've rarely run afoul of it. But, yeah, you need something similar on Echo Link or whatever. You're coming in on Echo Link, right?
Right. That's what I'm using. Echo Link on my belly. I am seriously reclined in a lazy boy. And I'm using this HP Chromebook X360 or whatever the heck it is for my transmission and reception device.
Yeah, works in any room in the house. if it was one of those tough book things, probably even take it in the bathtub with you. Just don't let it sink in the water. You could probably splash water on it.
I've seen demos where they take a hose to it, in case it gets muddy or something.
You know, the product videos always show, like, the first one is usually somebody handing it back to the delivery guy and dropping it. And then the other video, the other part of that video is a van or a truck blowing sand all over it. And then usually, yeah, there's the obligatory one where it gets caught out in the rain or gets dropped into a puddle. Yeah, that's they're standard marketing videos.
The best I ever saw, and it reminds me to go back and look up the video. Maybe you can see it on YouTube. But when they came out with one of the Tough Books, they had it hooked up to an external monitor and an external keyboard. But they had a Hummer balanced, one of the wheels of a Hummer balanced on top of the case. I'm sure it was one of those things. You know, you've seen deals in the past, stunts where they could balance, I want to say a Rolls Royce on top of champagne glasses or something extremely unlikely, but it's perfectly balanced. But that's what they did. They had a Hummer on top of it.
I'm sure some sort of setup where there's a counterweight on the end of the Hummer. Yeah, Penn and Teller did something like that a while back. They had an 18-wheeler run over Teller. And, you know, of course, the way that was done, of their tricks, the way that was done is you had a counterweight on the, it was a real semi-tractor trailer, but the tires on one side were foam rubber, and you had a counterweight on the other side that, you know, the camera couldn't see. If the camera was filming it from the left, the counterweights are on the right. So the counterweights are just balanced so that it's almost pulling the thing, you know, almost about to knock it over. So the counterweights and the foam rubber tires.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because my brother always mentioned this. He's long since departed, but my brother Dave knew a guy named Uncle Dave, who was a promoter and an old-time carny guy. And he used to do stunts, like get run over by a Model A back in the day. And he would put boards on himself and run over himself, but he knew how to set it up. And he didn't have any scientific weights or anything like that, but he knew how to do it. And people would ooh and ah. And another thing he would do, was, and this was quite dangerous, they would actually load dynamite in like a wagon. And no horses or mules were hurt in the experiment, but they had dynamite in a wagon, and he'd jump out at the last minute before the, or last second before the wagon exploded, and the crowd would go crazy. He never did the motorcycle thing in the cage. In fact, I was reading about some gal who just passed away, apparently, that used to do the cage thing, and she said she was actually the fastest rolling cage motorcycle rider. But a couple of times it went wrong, and she kind of got the Evel Knievel, broke every bone at least twice treatment. So, but she lived a lot longer after the carnival, albeit a little stiff from pins and bolts. KD4SRR. ID.
Or the dynamite barrel. You know, the stunt performer is actually inside a big barrel, like, you know, a 200-gallon or 200-liter barrel, and the dynamite is in there with them. And I guess the barrel is designed to easily break away, and maybe he's wearing a plate or something that directs the explosion, you know, away from him. But, you know, it certainly looks real. And, yeah, the dynamite barrel thing. Or on the subject of barrels, the Niagara Fall Now, I guess those are real. I don't imagine they faked any of those. You know, the padded barrel with the guy in it going over Niagara Falls. There was more than a few of those.
And a lot of them were not successful. The barrel survived, however, they did not. I saw a video a while back. The Russians had this they called the concussion suit. I saw it on that TV channel. It's over the air, channel 4. But I pick it up on satellite stories, which is kind of like old repeats of the History Channel. Anyway, they had this Russian person walking through a minefield or with explosions. And they supposedly, they had a few bruises and all. Anyway, when they took the helmet off, it was some hot Russian redhead wearing it. So, all kind of stunt stuff. There's ways to do it, but it's so, you don't get insured except by Lloyd's of London if you do that for a living.
Nations actually blowing themselves up as we see now, but oh, that's a whole other topic. Russian things blowing up mysteriously. I guess they got a problem there with people not knowing to smoke in ammo dumps or don't smoke in fuel dumps. So, yeah, the Russians did a lot of that. I'm sure it's the same sort of carnival. It's carnival trickery, but you can make it look as real as you want.
Roger that. It's just like the gal who has the, she calls it a pantera, but it's about a 3/4 size panther. And she's kind of pretty decent looking from a Russian standpoint. But she's got Luna the Pantera, which plays as kind of like their pet. But if you look at her pretty close, Pantera's been using her as a scratching post a few times. But she's an old carny girl, you know. And so she's got a few tats and tatters. Like corny people have. But, anywho, I got to get a run here in just a minute, but it was thank you, as always, for the fascinating conversation, and hopefully some of the other folks that don't, I don't think we have too much trouble on this one, but I know that extended conversations make some of the FUDs, and notice I did not add Elmer to that, make some of the FUDs angry because somebody has something to talk about.
Well, in any case, it's best not to hog the channel anyway. All right, well, good talking to you. And you got the Echolink working, so, now again, if you only had the waterproof Chromebook, you could be, or the waterproof toughbook, you could be sitting in the pool doing that. But I'll let you go. 82
B&G. I still don't think I'd want to have the power supply hooked up to it, in the pool. So, anywho, I won't even take the phone in that arena. That's when I will put the demon devices down. Well, anyway, as always, a pleasure talking to you. You've always got you can match anything I say, and over 10 times as far as interesting anecdotes and other stuff. I know you're going to enjoy your tough book. I said all the negatives about it. They're heavy and they're titanium, and boy, they are tough and a little slow and on certain things, but they're not built, like I said, to be gamer geeks, Alienware, for fighting space boogers, 24/7. So it's not meant for that, but, for getting around in, less than desirable climates, like hospitals, they work very good. So anyway, have a great rest of your day. I must get out here and attempt to crank the mower. I paid a lot for alcohol-free, ethanol-free gas yesterday, so I need to use some. So take care, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again. This is Kilo Delta 4, Sierra Romeo, Romeo Robert in Joanna, South Carolina. I'll be clear on your final.
4SSR, KD2BNG, 73s. Oh, okay. Installer media is built. Let's start installing operating system. I'll talk to you later, 73s.
5MFC, KD5PCB Mobile. KD5PCB Mobile clear.